service on Christmas Eve, believe it or not. And that'll be pretty simple, going through the Christmas story, singing some Christmas carols, you know, just a real simple time you can come and celebrate the Lord's birth. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning and just your provision in our lives. Thank you for loving us before we even considered you. Thank you for your son who you sent as that little baby that would grow up to be a man who would sacrifice everything for us. Thank you for that. And Father, just help us to remember that baby in the manger and why he came. And just, this was God who chose to come into a manger, no fanfare, for us. And because you loved us that much. And so, Father, help us as we come here this morning, help us to hear you. Pray that your Holy Spirit would move us emotionally, spiritually, even physically, cause us to follow after you with all of our being. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's the wrong slide. Well, that was last week. I could do that one again. Yeah, we were only 15 minutes over, so you know, it should be dated today. All right. So what I'm going to do today is some review. We're going to be looking at, we're still in Romans 12. We're going to be continuing on with that, but it's going to take a little bit of a turn. And so I want to go back and do some review before we go into this next section, which actually won't happen till next year. So we started off in Romans 11 as we were getting ready to look at Romans 12. And because it sets itself up for what we're going to be looking at in Romans 12. Romans 11. So we're going to be looking at Romans 11:33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So we see that God is God. Everything is from him and for him and to him. And it sets it up then, so when we go into the first verse of chapter 12, where it says, Paul says, "I therefore exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. That's okay. Why is it reasonable? Because of who God is. That's why it's reasonable. In the world, it's not reasonable. Because in the world, they would say, wait a minute, you're going to sacrifice yourself for some God who, I mean, have you ever seen him or heard him? Or, you know, the stuff I know about him, he seems kind of weird. Why would you give yourself sacrificially for him? Because he is God. He's the one true God. We need to give our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength to him. And remember here, Paul is talking to believers in Christ. He's not just talking to everybody. He's only talking to believers. Because we as believers who have the Holy Spirit, it's the only way we can make any sense out of it. Because otherwise, it really does make no sense. Alive, holy, pleasing, reasonable. And we're to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We're to have a new mind. The scripture says that when we become a believer, we become a new creation. The old things passed away, everything becomes new, including our mind, our hearts. And we need to live that way. And in so doing, we prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's how the world sees who God is, through us. That's kind of scary. You think about that. The gods or the world sees God through us. They understand who Jesus Christ is through us. We need to live in such a way that's good and acceptable and perfect. God provides us with faith. He's the one that gives us faith. Faith to have the perspective of other people. Faith to have perspective of ourselves, who we are. Discernment, humility needs to be part of that as we live out our faith, as we show the world who Christ is, who God is. And we are members one of another. We are members of Christ, and we are members of each other. Paul uses that analogy of the body, you know, the different body parts and how they all fit together. If you have all your body parts, you're going to function the best. If you're missing some body parts, if body parts don't work right, which seems to happen the older we get, stuff doesn't work as well anymore. But in the church, the functioning of Christ's body, we need to all do our part. We had a pretty amazing event here yesterday. We had 48 kids. 48 kids came, mostly just from the neighborhood, mostly unchurched families, came to take advantage of being able to drop their kids off and go do some shopping or whatever they wanted to do. And people here took care of them, and they did crafts and games and fed them. Yeah. And our hope was that it really would reach those who don't have a church home. And the majority of them didn't. You know, that was one of the questions that they asked them. So just very appreciative. There was a lot of volunteers. How many volunteers do you guys, you know, off the top of your, how many? 28 volunteers. Awesome. That came. Some of them here all day. So, and it was from 1 to 7. So just... A.M.?
Yes.
Oh. Well, those are the crazy ones. Yeah. And I think they're all here today, too. So. But that's, you know, that's living out Christ. You know, showing people who Jesus is. And being, you know, those parts and pieces that fit together so everything functioned, everything worked. We're not only part of Christ, but we are part of one another. And we do have different gifts. Paul talks about that, how we're gifted differently. The Holy Spirit has gifted us. And so we all have different gifts. And that's not just, you know, talents and abilities, although God has worked those into our lives. But he's specifically gifted us with spiritual gifts. And we're to use those in the body, to build up the body, to encourage the body. We need to love unhypocritically. In other words, don't be selective about it. Don't put any strings attached, but just love people. Love all people. You know, when it talks about loving our neighbors ourselves, that's not just the person that lives next door. That's really anybody we come into contact with. Loving them, showing them Christ. We're to abhor evil and cling to good. You know, there's a lot of evil in this world to abhor. And we need to make sure that we abhor evil and not get used to it. You know, because that seems to be what happens in our society. We start getting used to all the junk, all the stuff that goes on. And we get desensitized to it. We need to abhor it. And we need to cling to what is good. And what's good? The only thing that's good? Yeah. God is the only thing that's good. Remember Jesus when he was talking to some of the people and they called him good teacher. And he says, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good. And that's God. Of course, a lot of them didn't realize he was God. We need to be devoted to one another. Fellow believers, just as Jesus is devoted to us, we need to be devoted to one another. We need to be zealous, enthusiastic in serving God, in our service to Him. Be excited about it. You know, and sometimes that takes work. Sometimes it takes work to be excited about serving God because there's some things that God calls us to do that aren't all that fun. They're not all that exciting. But yet our attitude should be enthusiastic, zealous in serving Him. We're to have hope. Not hope in this world, but hope in the next. And we're to rejoice in that. That's where we should get our joy, is future hope in Jesus Christ. Future hope in what God has planned for us. We need to be able to endure suffering. Because Jesus was very clear, it's coming. It has come. It's been here. It is here. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ will suffer for Him. Sometimes it's in ways we don't realize, and other times it's very blatant. We need to be persistent in our praying. Paul says to pray without ceasing, to have that mindset of always being in a mode of prayer. I find that more and more as I drive on the river road, I pray more. Some crazy people out there. But we need to pray, praying consistently, holding up one another in prayer. Now, I encourage you that, you know, we have the connection cards that are there in the pews. And, you know, if you have something that you need to pray about, that you would like others to pray about, put it on there. Stick it in the basket on your way out. You can even go to our website. On the website, there's a place where you specifically can go and ask for prayer. And it can come either to the pastors or the prayer team or wherever you would like it to go. And then we'll pray. And we'll pray. And when God answers that prayer, let us know. Let us know. In January, the second Sunday in January, we're actually going to have communion on the second Sunday. We're going to have a special speaker on the first Sunday. So on the second Sunday, we're going to do a prayer and praise service along with communion. You know, a time to just reflect on what God's done. And also a time when we can lift up one another as the body of Christ and pray for one another, encourage one another. We need to be generous. We need to be generous. Generous towards fellow believers, but also generous towards strangers. That's that idea of hospitality is literally serving strangers. Last week we talked about generosity. And in Timothy where it talked about, you know, those who don't provide for their own are worse than an unbeliever. The thing is we need to realize there, though, it's not just our immediate family. It's our church family also. Because they're part of the family. Remember, we saw we're in Christ and we are also in each other. And we need to be generous towards each other, those in our faith family also. And like I said, we're going to start to transition. Going to be looking at verses 14 through 16 later. And it's going to take a little bit of a turn. It's going to start talking about suffering and persecution and some of the things that we may go through. So it's definitely taking a little bit of a turn. But we need to realize that this whole section in Romans 12 is about living for Christ. It's about how we should live. In fact, it even goes on. 13, 14, it continues to go on. Here's how we're to live. Here's how we're to live. And the main point of how we live in this world is God. It is to be a witness of who God is, to be a witness of what Christ has done in our lives. Because that's really all we need to tell people about is what Christ has done in my life. You know, I don't have to have some theology degree to tell people about God. But I can tell them what he's done in my life, how I've seen him work in my life, in my family's life. That's what it is to be a witness. And pray for those opportunities. Pray for those opportunities. Okay, God, today I'm going to be in X. Provide an opportunity in conversation that we can have a spiritual conversation. You know, because sometimes it's just kind of awkward. You just, you know, kind of, oh, hey, how you doing? And then launch into, you know, talking about Jesus. But God can orchestrate it so it's part of the conversation. And I'm sure that there's probably many of you that's happened. You're just talking about stuff, and you get onto spiritual things. And then you can start, and the best thing to do is to ask them questions. It's better than you telling them stuff. Just start asking them questions. Oh, what do you think about Jesus? Have you ever considered Jesus? What do you know about him? Ever read the Bible? Because a lot of times they have ideas about Jesus, but it's from elsewhere. It's not necessarily from God's word. NBC. You mean the on TV? I thought maybe that stood for something weird or something. Yeah, they you know, people get their information from a lot of places. And a lot of times, especially when it's dealing with spiritual things, it's wrong. It's just flat wrong. So I want to take a change here now. We're going to go in a totally different direction. So last week we talked about generosity. We talked about, you know, giving and those types of things. And last week was our annual budget meeting. So we met after second service. We had some lunch together, and then we did our budget. And so on your handout is actually a recap of several years. So the budget that we set for this coming year, 2019, is $231,656.39. And it's down slightly from last year. And, you know, when we set these budgets up, there's a lot of praying that goes on. You know, we ask all the ministry teams, all the different areas, you know, to pray about what God wants them to do in the coming year. And then to do their budget accordingly. But we also take into account what our income is. And our income's been down. And so we did not do any across-the-board raises this year because income's down. We just felt like we couldn't necessarily do that. But if you'll notice on the giving or the operating income versus the expenses versus the budget, you'll see that we've never spent what's in the budget because we tend to be pretty frugal around here. We tend to kind of watch, you know, what's our income? How are we doing? You know, we just don't go out and spend money because we can. You know, we don't get to the end of the year and go, oh, we still have money in our budget, so we better spend it, right? Anybody work for the government? Yeah. You know, okay. I worked for the government for a little while. And we get to the end of the year, and they're like, oh, we have $10,000, and we need to spend it on something, because if we don't, we won't get it next year. You know, what does that encourage? It does. It encourages frivolous spending. Instead of saying, okay, you had $10,000 in your budget last year that you didn't use, good for you. Did you do everything you needed to do? Yeah, we did. All right. What's your budget going to be this year? Well, we would like that $10,000 again. Great. Put it in there. But that doesn't work that way out in the weird world. Okay. So moving on. Because you don't do that in your home, right? those of you that have budgets, because I know there's those of you out there that don't have budgets. You know, in our family, because of our lack of income for many, many, many years, we really had to have a budget. You got to know, where's it going? How's this working? And I can't go, well, gee, I didn't spend all the money in my budget this year, so I better hurry up and spend it for the end of the year, right? No. Where's it go? It goes in the savings account, as little as it might be. And that's one of the things that we have here at the church, too. In your bulletin, you may notice this thing called operating reserve. Basically, that's our savings account. That's what we use. Just like this year, we've had to use some of that because we haven't had the income that we've necessarily needed to do all the things that we needed to do. Because there's some things you have to do. You know, if the roof is leaking, you got to fix it. If you want lights, got to pay the power bill. You know, and if they raise your rates, you can't go, well, I'm not paying that, right? Well, you can say that, but, you know, there's just some things that you just have to pay for. It's just the way it is. But there's some things that you don't, and you have to, you know, weigh those out. You know, do we do this now? Do we do it later? You know, there's sometimes we'll ask for a special offering. You know, here's something, it's kind of outside the budget, so we're going to take a special offering, and we've done that in the past. You know, we did it for the covered shelter. We've done it for roof things. You know, we've done some of those things in the past. One of the things that I think is a real positive is we spend approximately 20-plus thousand every year on missions. So over the last 5 years at least, over $100,000 have gone to missions. You know, we've been very committed to that whatever our income is, we take at least 10% of what our income is, and we spend that on missions. You know, we just feel like that's something that we need to do. You know, we see attendance fluctuate. You know, and a lot of it, it's not so much that people just aren't here at all. It's just from week to week. You know, some weeks it's pretty thin. And I don't know, this I'll probably be treading on some ice here, but, you know, if you miss a Sunday and that was a Sunday you normally give, do you make it up? Or do you just go, oh, well, I missed that one, so whatever. You know, you need to realize that giving is an act of worship. It's part of worshiping God. One of the, you know, some of the things that are out there now is, and we've been talking about this because it comes up. Well, can people go to our website and pay, you know, do an offering? And I know there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of churches that do that. One of the things that I actually have been using now that I can do mobile deposit. Use that yet? That's pretty cool. My phone takes a picture of the check and it deposits it. Saves a trip to town. Because normally, I've just given cash when I go to the bank. I just, whatever my offering is, I keep out as cash, and I just give it that way. But now, with my mobile deposit, I use bill pay. And I know there's some people out there some of you out there use that. It's nice. You can just, you know, tell my bank, send a check. Here's one of the cons on that. And this is just my personal opinion. This is not based on Scripture necessarily. Sometimes it can lose being an act of worship. You know, if I do, well, I'll do auto pay because I give the same amount all the time, so I'll just do auto pay. But to me personally, and that's one of the reasons that I've always given cash, because it's an act of worship. I want to physically do that. And to not get in the mindset, oh, well, it's just like another bill. You know, that it really is. It's an act of worship to God, saying, God, I'm giving you back part of what you've given to me. Remember, we talked about that last week. As God prospers you, give. As God prospers you. You know, and if you have more questions about our finances and what's going on, you can talk to Pastor Aylor about it. You can talk to me about it. You know, we'd be glad to sit down with you if you have more specifics about it. You know, don't go along thinking, oh man, I wish I really knew how that worked. Ask. Just ask. Because we'd be glad to sit down with you. And if you're struggling financially, if you're struggling in your budget, we can work with you on that too. You know, I did that for years. Worked more on the finance side of the church. So I would be glad to sit down with you. Pastor Aylor would be glad to sit down with you. And just, you know, if you've never had a budget and you'd like to try to do a budget, you know, we can work with you with that too. All right. So I just wanted to, you know, one of the things, and I'll admit it, one of the things that I have not done a very good job of is, especially just when it comes to the budget time, we never talk about it. You know, oh yeah, we passed the budget. You know, usually it goes in the bulletin, but we just never really talk about it. So we passed the budget. It's not just in the bulletin. Here's the numbers. You know, and we base those numbers on how God's going to prosper us, how God's going to prosper you, how you're going to give. So, all right. I went over last week. You're going to get out early this week. You weren't even here last week. Boy. Okay, well, I'm going to find something else to go on now, so. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for how you have provided. And, you know, just, you know, this place has been here 40 plus years. And you have provided. You have always provided. Yeah, there's been tight times, really tight times. And there's been times of abundance. And you've provided it all. It's amazing to me, you know, to look at this fellowship here and what we have here, the buildings, the property we have, the people that are here. You have been so faithful. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, that you will help us to give back to you as we prosper, that as your word says, you know, test him and see. You know, give and see what God will do. See how God will use that. And I just think of yesterday when we had all these kids here from the neighborhood and many people who they gave of their time, they gave of their money, they provided for that. And Father, we are expecting to see great things come from that. To see maybe some new people come and try it out. Or maybe that'll be kind of their first taste of, oh, yeah, that church over there across the street. And so, Father, help us to love you and then to go out there and love people in the world, to love one another, to love our neighbor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, want to go through just a few things in the bulletin here. So Christmas caroling is tonight, right? So there's going to be a potluck prior, and then we're going to go out and do some Christmas caroling, and I'll go out to various places. And Glennis, are you the honcho behind that? So, I mean, somebody's got to be in charge, right? So you can see Glennis if you have any questions about that. Let's see. And then our post office here, for you can do Christmas cards without having any postage on them. I saw a bunch of cards going out there today. So that's pretty awesome. And we could still use some help in the clothing closet, some help with sorting. And yes? No?
Thought I heard.
Greeters. Yes, we can always use greeters. And then so for, you know, next Sunday, but then also for Christmas Eve, too, would be good. And like I mentioned, we're going to do our communion. will be a little bit different because it'll be the second Sunday of next month, and we'll do a prayer and praise time along with that. Next Sunday is as usual. And there's actually a little thing out there, which you could even take some of these and hand them out to people. This is Christmas Eve. We're doing one service, 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And it really will just be pretty simple. The Christmas story and some singing along with that. And next Sunday will be as usual, 9 and 10:30. That answer your question? She knew that. So, and again, you know, check out our website. There, you know, the calendar's on there. There's information on there about what's going on. So, God bless y'all. Have a great week. Y'all.